Bureau of Businesses. Bank of May substitute for House Bill 299. Neil?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Gail, just speaking from criminal division of the Department of Law. I'm here to speak on House Bill 299. I understand that there's a proposed Tuesday committee substitute for that bill. The proposed committee substitute changes the definition of sexual contact and sexual penetration as the terms currently appear in the Alaska Code. Changes, of course, are set up underlined. Mr. Chairman, the reason that these changes are necessary is that on the 18th of May of this year, the Alaska Court of Appeals issued a decision entitled Nicholas Flint versus State of Alaska. That's Court of Appeals number 370. In that case, the justices, although there was no clear majority opinion on all issues, it was a per curiam opinion. What the justices did was hold that under the current definitions, which they termed to be ambiguous, that cases involving sexual contact, they declared to be a specific intent crime, which means not only would we lose the cases which are now up on appeal on that issue, and there are several, but also that we would, from now on, have to prove, as a part of our case in chief, that the defendant had a specific intent to act with a sexual purpose, that is, to gratify his lust or passion, or the lusts or passions of the child at the time that he touched the child. This is, of course, very difficult to do, especially in some cases where you have the actor may well be acting out of a motive to humiliate the victim, out of anger, or some twisted notion of sexual education or initiation into sexual experience. The changes found in the bill, sir, change the definition of sexual contact and penetration to exclude from those terms acts which are normally construed as normal caretaker responsibilities, such as changing a diaper, insertion.
Why don't we change the caretaker to familial? Would that fit better?
I don't believe so, Mr.
Family
Chairman.
Responsibilities?
Because you're also talking about like daycare workers.
Well, that's a family responsibility. That would be the same as familial. That's in the plural, and that would be a family responsibility, changing diapers or blowing the kid's nose or pulling their BBDs up. That's all.
Mr. Chairman, the reason that term was chosen.
You only say caretaker, now you get into the school teachers.
Yes, but it would have to be normal caretaker responsibilities, and ordinarily, of course, a school teacher wouldn't be doing anything that had to do with sexual contact or penetration. The reason that language was chosen was it was taken directly out of the American Bar Association's recommendations in a model project for statutes of this type, and it was cited.
Have any of those been passed any place? Are any of those in the law now, or is that just some guy's dream?
Well, the term caretaker does appear in some state statutes. The court.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
What she's trying to do by including this exact language is to specifically answer what the court was asking. And if that's the language they used, so that's the language we would use.
Yes, sir. That's on page 14 of the opinion.
What's going to have to be fast to it?
Caretaker responsibilities.
You say other states?
Normal caretaker responsibilities.
Have other states used the word caretaker? Other states approach the problem in some different ways. Some make it a specific intent crime, some make it a general intent crime. They use slightly different language. The recommendation was taken from the American Bar Association's National Legal Resource Center for Child Advocacy and Promotion in their recommendations for improving legal intervention in intrafamilial child sexual abuse cases. That was published in 1982. And this is recommendation 1.6, it has a company in common.
Did you just use the word familial there?
I don't think it would be as good, Sam.
Did you just use it?
Intrafamily child sexual abuse cases. That was the name of the report. Basically, incest cases.
What's the committee's determination?
Mr. Chairman, I would move make an amendment on page 2. I would basically take lines 5 and 6 out. I would take on line 7, I would take the Roman numeral 2 in parentheses out. And on line 9, I would take out the words or mental.
In context, how does that read then?
That would read, sexual penetration does not include acts performed for the purpose of administering a recognized and lawful form of treatment. It is reasonably adapted to promoting the physical health of the person being treated. The reason being that I cannot consider how you can have sexual penetration for the mental health of a child And I cannot see how you can have sexual penetration under what would be called a caretaker responsibility. The only things that I can imagine are such things as cleaning, rectal thermometers, syringes, or lozenges, or whatever they call them, suppositories. And those would all come under reasonably adapted for promoting the physical health. So why I don't think we need.
How about using a sanitary just wiping the kid abortion?
That's for physical health.
That wouldn't be penetration.
I can see where we want to keep that language when we're talking about sexual contact, because you could have your daughter on your shoulders, and even though it would be through her clothing, your neck would be having sexual contact with her genital area. But for penetration, I don't think we need that.
Dale?
I don't see any problem with that, sir. I couldn't think of a situation either where you'd have penetration as a normal care.
Joseph?
Let me just ask about his letter of intent. Are we going to get any cases where the state prosecutor prosecutes a parent for cuddling a child, and then you say that it is the father's responsibility to show his familial relationship or parental relationship? I mean, why shouldn't you have the burden of showing that it's not in that context?
Mr. Chairman, if that is raised, if there's any evidence, or he says it was a caretaker responsibility, the state has the burden of disproving beyond a reasonable doubt. This does not shift the burden of proof. The reason that it's not something you have to prove out front in every case is that in most cases it's not even raised. It operates the same way as a defense. If you have a defense, you say my defense is alibi or self-defense or whatever, then we still have to prove it, but we don't have to disprove every conceivable alibi out front even before he raises it. The for your information, Senator Josephson, the Court of Appeals.
The guy wants to bring it up, and then
they got to prove beyond a reasonable doubt.
That's true.
They reached that exact same result in the Andrews case by the Court of Appeals in 1982, where in a receiving and concealing theft case, they said the state doesn't have to prove up front an intent to permanently deprive, although that's implied. But if the defendant says, yes, I knew it was stolen, yes, I had it, but I plan to give it back to the owner, once he raises it, then you have to disprove it. But it's not something you have to negate in the abstract before it's raised.
I move that amendment.
With the title change and the resolution to go. Radically accepted funds. Bring the resolution to. Okay?
Is the letter of intent.
Now, how many states are we going to like, and how many? Are we in the main street here, or far out on the left?
Mr. Chairman.
We're in the forefront, I would say, with Michigan and Arizona.
Most states have a general intent crime. Some states continue to have a specific intent. We were always under the impression we had a specific intent crime here from 1980 on until we got an opinion to the contrary.
General intent, sorry.
So we would be in the majority going back to general intent.
Move the letter of intent.
Right.
You could use this letter of intent in our appeals to the Supreme Court.
We are re-petitioning the Court of Appeals on a Flint case for petition for rehearing. I don't know
that. Well, I mean, some states, Joe, they can go to the Supreme Court and get advisory opinions. I suppose the court can go to the legislature and get advisory opinions.
Ted Stephen will not have built an advisory opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You might as well stay here. We have one other bill here. Here's the tenth concurrent resolution changing the title, okay? Yep, everything goes at the same time. Next order of business we have is hospital sponsored substitute for hospital 444. There's been a considerable interest in this bill, but there seems to be some real problems with it. What if Jane and John are married, and then they get a separation or divorce, and John comes and picks up the kids and takes them for a weekend, and Jane gets mad at him for some reason, and says that he restrained the kid, kept him there against their will.
Mr. Chairman, under the bill, you wouldn't have to show it was against the will. If you could show that the child was temporarily kept from the lawful custodian, that would be enough.
That would be enough, right? So then that's where the error is, right?
Well, not really. If the child's restrained against his or her will, that's kidnapping, and that's a felony. It's unclassified. We've got that now. If you have one parent sort of child stealing from the other parent, that's custodial interference, and that's either misdemeanor or felony, depending on if you take the child out of state. So that's covered now. As I understand it, with discussions with the sponsor, this was intended to reach the person who entices a child into the car from a playground or something like that, and you can't show, and then he releases the child, and you can't show that he intended to kidnap or commit sexual assault or do any of the other things that are now covered under current law. This is, as I understand it, in the nature of an enticement statute, similar to an Anchorage Municipal Ordinance on enticement, which talks about, you know, you can't lure kids into cars and stuff like that. Yes.
What's the department law's position on this?
We haven't taken a position, sir. We work with the sponsor on cleaning up some of the language. And I can, you know, tell you what it's intended to do.
Mm-hmm. The prosecutor's office has no position on it. The Department of Law does. The Department of Law, per se, is opposed to the bill.
They say why?
More or less than what I said, it's too big.
For the information of the committee, we did offer a different definition of entice that was more narrower, and that was not adopted on the House floor. It was offered as a amendment, and it was not adopted. So some of the ambiguity or overbreadth might come from that definition. I'm sorry, I don't have my file here. I can give you the other definition we had.
Here's an example. Dick and Jane are divorced. Jane has custody of the kids. Dick picks up the kids from school and drops them at their house. Jane gets mad at Dick and then has them arrested for enticement. Dick didn't do anything but take the kids to their house because he's not the legal guardian and technically restraining them on this bill.
Well, he had no intention to temporarily conceal the child from the child's lawful custodian, so he's not guilty.
You wouldn't think so, would you? Feel better with a closer section to enticement section?
Yeah, well, we obviously, the reason why we proposed the other enticement definition was we thought it was better. It's not vastly different. There are some different words used as a description. I could probably pick up a copy of that, sir, if you want me to. Across the street.
You have 10 minutes. He wants to sit here 10 minutes. It's all right. Maybe we'll come up with something.
I'm not going anywhere.
No,
it's late now.
Maybe we're going to discuss this a little. Fritz, get your mind working and do a little better job.
Yeah, I'll see you here. Let's solicit. That probably
should. Well, I could hear something.
That would be an attempt.
So this would cover right now just enticing, like if a guy would say, come on, get in my car, little girl, and the little girl says no and runs away, technically he would have enticed her.
Well, if you can prove that he had the intent.
Yes, if you had the intent to temporarily.
But then you have to, with the intent to temporarily conceal her from the child lawful custodian, right?
How about just a person takes or restrains a child, and if he attempts it, he can be prosecuted for attempt, right?
Except that this is, well, it's an A misdemeanor, attempt would be a B misdemeanor.
Well, just wipe out section 2 and wipe out entice on line 12. That would, at least you get something.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying, Mr. Chairman?
It takes restraints and whatever restraints.
Takes restraints, child.
Forget the entices.
Yeah.
Because if the entices are in, it doesn't get a hold of her, there's nothing happened anyway.
Right, and you could prosecute.
Doesn't bring any physically thing that's done with the kid.
And you could prosecute him for an attempt if you wanted to.
Are you with us today, Senator?
Yes.
Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, sir.
He's beginning his instructions there, Mr. Chairman.
Might even want to say that.
See what we're doing, Joe? Line 12, take out entice, then take out section two. Is that right? See how quick he is?
Okay, if it's agreeable with the committee, I'll have that drawn up as a committee substitute, but then I have to contact the Attorney General himself because I have a red mark there with the Department of Law to fix those. And if they do object to it, then I'll have to match it. If not, I'll go ahead and send it out there.
Okay.
You want to sign this?
Thank you.